Grace be unto you, and mercy and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today is our gospel lesson, written in the Gospel of St. Luke, the 18th chapter, beginning at the first verse, where we read in Jesus' name. And he told them a parable, to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me, and I'll use a different word, give me vindication. For a while he refused. But afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I'll give her vindication so that she won't give me a black eye by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give vindication to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will vindicate them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are the truth. Increase our faith through them, we pray. You may be seated. Dear fellow redeemed, it just seems to get worse and worse for Christians. Have you read about the dozens of Christian churches? Dozens and dozens that have been burned to the ground over the last few months, and some of them with their congregations inside. Have you noted the viciousness with which some of these bureaucrats enforce laws that infringe on personal faith of believers, even though the courts have found in favor of those believers? It's like the bureaucrats just won't give up. Have you read about the publicity given to this goofball, non-scholar who has on this crusade to make the claim that Jesus was invented by the Romans? Closer to home, did you see the attendance for September and last week's bulletin? Average of 50? And did I mention those who lose their lives around the world because of their confession of the Christian faith? Wow, it can look pretty bleak at times. The Christian faith appears to be either the object of hostility or just relegated to indifference. When will we be vindicated for our faithfulness? When is Christ going to reveal the truth to this world so that people will know we were right all along? When is he going to reveal the truth to those who have despised us as though we believed in fairy tales or as though we were foolish or stupid? Indifference reigns, it seems. Like we heard in the epistle lesson for today, yeah, we have churches and people pick preachers for themselves who will just preach what they want to hear. And so it is that people lay claim to righteousness. They don't even bother to say how good they are, as saying that they achieve some level of goodness. They just reject morality altogether. Like Satan's first lie. Oh, did God really say we're not supposed to do that? And there are a lot of churches, like some of the more liberal Lutherans, who deny Christ's atoning sacrifice. It would be foolish, one, I'll put it in quotes, Lutheran theologian wrote, to say that Jesus had to pay for somebody's sins. And then there are the Joel Osteens of this world who they preach a prosperity gospel, a heaven on earth gospel. You know, that isn't a doctrine that even saves. And it makes a mockery of Christianity. Think how many people are disappointed thinking God promised them this wealth and this prosperity. And all they can do is just say, well, that was a joke. And think they're talking about Christianity. In the section leading up to our text, in the previous chapter, chapter 17, Jesus predicted that it would be like this. He said in 26 to 28, verse of chapter 17, just as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. That's the context in which Jesus sets forth this parable to his disciples. That he says, writer Luke says, that he told to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He tells us what to do. He tells us what believers are to do while we wait for vindication. Now, I know that in a number of translations, including the one in your bulletin, the word justice is used. Now, justice is kind of a double-edged word. You know, it's easy to say we want justice if we're in the right. But do I absolutely want justice in the sense of getting what this sinner deserves? The Greek word here, ektikeo, really doesn't mean that double-ended justice. It really means justice against someone who has wronged me. And the English word, I think, that works best here is vindicated. I'm right. And I want that to be seen. We were right all along to trust in Jesus. Now, it's not a matter of pride, as though, excuse us, we great, wise, smart, and brilliant people made this choice. As the children sang this morning, it's God who has reached down to us and he has called us to faith. And in following him, of course, we are vindicated. Let's look at this parable. The main character is a widow, somebody who in that cultural context would have been most powerless. You want to talk about somebody who could be bullied and couldn't do anything about it. And so she'd been bullied. She'd been abused. She'd been mistreated. She deserved to have somebody stand up in her defense. The only one that she could go to was this judge, this leader of the town, and she went to him and he didn't care. She couldn't pay him anything. She wasn't any good for him. He wasn't even going to bother with her. If anything, he would bully her more. And this woman stands for the church, especially as it's abused and ridiculed and persecuted. Jesus in the parable says it's his elect who cry to him day and night. It refers to us as we bear the cross of Christ in this world. Or you think of the Egyptian Christians that have not made the news, sad to say, over the last few months. Women are picked up, kidnapped, young women in their teens and 20s, and carried off and given to men as their wives because they're Christians. There are families that are known to be Christians, Coptic Christians, because they have the signs on their houses, and their houses are burned to the ground. They have these riots that you hear about, and these mobs, and they go through a part of the town, and they drag the Christians out, And there is the law. There are the soldiers. There are the policemen. There are the representatives of the government watching. And whatever appeal the people make, protect me, protect my life, protect my daughter. And the voices fall on deaf ears. That's the picture of this woman in the parable. That's the way she was treated. And that's the way the elect, the church, is often treated in this world, as Jesus said it would be. Now, the other character in the parable is God. Or more precisely, it's an opposite of God person. Where the woman is compared to the church, the judge is contrasted with God. So Jesus says, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. He didn't have any sense of morality, of right or wrong, any accountability to God, and he wasn't impressed by what anybody thought about him. The only thing he was willing to do was make a buck for himself. He'd pervert the course of justice for a dime. He's like a corrupt judge in Chicago who would rule in favor of whoever gave him the biggest bribe, and that wasn't going to be the widow. And yet Jesus says, even in this circumstance, something happened. He finally vindicated the woman against her adversary. Now, that's again that special use of that word. Gave her justice against her adversary. Declared that she was in the right after all. It took a long time because the judge was so crooked, but she finally wore him down. She give me a black eye is the actual literal Greek there. And so the point is, Jesus says, that even if even someone you can't imagine being fair finally gave justice, gave vindication, what do you expect of somebody who is perfectly fair? What do you expect of your merciful and gracious God? And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. He will vindicate them quickly. So hang on, Christians. Hang in there. It's going to come. In contrast to the crooked judge, God wants to vindicate and deliver his bride, the church. And just as our Lord, through Luke, over and over, pictures the kingdom of God as something that is now, because Jesus is here in the world declaring the kingdom of God, and also not yet, because its completion will come in the last days. So also, you can expect to be vindicated quickly, and you can also expect that in another way, you're going to have to wait for it. We're accused, after all, aren't we? We're accused by Satan, it says in the scriptures, especially in Revelation. Satan, that the word Satan means accuser. We're accused of our sins before God every single moment. He accuses us of sin and unholiness and unrighteousness. And the world in which we live accuses Christians of everything from bigotry to sentimentality, from self-righteousness to self-loathing, and from stupidity to cunning. It's like they can't make up their minds what to blame us for. And why should God come to our defense? Why should he vindicate us? Do we deserve it? No, it's purely by grace. And you see, Jesus told the disciples it's going to happen soon. And he could say that because that's just what he was doing. Jesus, as you've heard many times now as we've read through Luke, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. Jesus is on his way to the cross. Jesus is on his way to the grave, the tomb, to the open tomb. He was on his way to do the very thing he was talking about here, to vindicate us before God, to silence our accuser. It was a quickly thing. And for us, it's a now thing. As Paul put it in 2 Corinthians 5, for our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We are vindicated because we are righteous. We are righteous with the righteousness that Jesus lived, and the righteousness that God gives to us, so that, as Paul says to the Philippians, we are found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends upon faith. So, right quickly, Jesus says, you are vindicated before God. The world may ridicule our faith. There are those that we know who maybe used to be members of a church that we were part of, who for a while believed and then fell away. And they may make fun of us. They may joke. They may ask us when we're going to come to our senses. There are some who have become so preoccupied with the worries, riches, and pleasures of life that they can't be bothered to be here on a Sunday morning. And they may ask you when you're going to clear your calendar and go out and have some fun, when you're going to come to your senses and get with what's real and what's important, at least to them. But here and now, God is saying to you, you're mine. You are my righteous ones. You're right in looking to me for righteousness, for I am your hope and I am your everlasting joy. Let's face it. Who vindicates who? Are we vindicated by a risen Christ, or are his critics vindicated? Like the Benjamin Franklins and the other Voltaires, the other free thinkers of the world who, after all, are rotting in their graves while their souls are condemned to hell. Who, finally, is vindicated? Is it not we who put our hope in the risen Christ? Already, he, the risen Christ, assures us we are the objects of the Savior's love, the objects of his watchful care. But he also tells us that there's some waiting ahead of us. And so not to lose heart, not to stop praying, because we also have to wait for this vindication to become clear to all, clear to the whole world. And in the meantime, we'll live under the cross, as he says. As he says in Luke 21, just a couple chapters after this, he says, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and pestilences. There will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it, therefore, in your minds, not to meditate beforehand how to answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, But not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. And of course, he's talking about our eternal lives there. So keep praying and don't give up heart, because you will be vindicated finally in your own resurrection. So we understand, listening to Jesus here, that we've been vindicated in our faith already. God knows your faithfulness. He's bestowed his righteousness on you, so that already you're objects of his mercy and of his love and of his compassion. And remember, he told them a parable, this parable, to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. That vindication will one day be clear to everybody. You do have a Savior who loves to answer prayer. He's not somebody who's angry with you, who despises you. He neither recalls your sins nor holds them against you. You're vindicated by Christ, who is the atoning sacrifice for your sins, for the sins of the whole world. And so you're invited to pray boldly to be delivered from the troubles of this life, to pray boldly, and don't lose heart if your prayers aren't granted right away. Don't lose heart if finally in this life the answer is no, because we have been vindicated before God, and the day is coming when in the resurrection we will be welcomed into the everlasting joy of heaven. Our faith will be vindicated before the world. So Christians, keep praying. Lord, hear our prayers. Amen. And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.